Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. Remember that I told you that I was on a quest to find out why so many inexplicable satanic attacks were attacking the body of Christ. This is when I wrote the book some years back. And God gave me a revelation. It came by revelation. And I knew that I had found the answer in Mrs. C. Newsom's book, The Life of Faith, in chapter 7, which is entitled, Hold Fast That Which Thou Hast. When I came to this part, I knew I had my answer. She wrote, God's remedy always accomplishes just what God says it will accomplish, overcome the enemy. He says that the blood overcomes the enemy, period. But, she writes, watchfulness is the price of constant victory. Quote, 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Watch. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Going on with Mrs. Newsom's words. Our enemy is so set on our destruction that he never sleeps or neglects to follow after us to destroy us. How sad that we, who have so much at stake, should be less diligent than he. A failure to watch gives the devil a place in us or permits him to return. Jesus said, I say unto all, watch. We are not safe from his attacks one moment without the blood of Jesus. As soon as we waken in the morning, we should cry for the blood to be upon us, within us, around us, and between us and all evil and the author of evil. The last thing before we sleep, we should in the same way cry out for the protection of the blood, writes Mrs. Newsom. She goes on, oh, that we could rouse ourselves to a greater intensity in the things of God. We are so half-hearted, and yet we must overcome an enemy that is constantly alert and ready to take advantage of all our carelessness and neglect. Soldiers are severely dealt with for even a small carelessness or neglect. If we neglect to watch, can God call us good soldiers? Oh, how much we suffer because we fail to watch all the time. Jesus said, I say unto all, watch. Not one person is excused from watching. We shall never in this life get to a place where the enemy cannot attack us. But God is not willing that we should be overcome even once. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Not one failure as we obey and trust. Those are Mrs. Newsom's words. Here are mine. I saw it. 1 Peter 5:8 is so clear. Be vigilant. Watch. That's how he slips in on us, a lack of watchfulness. The old timers set up a watch, a word watch, a blood watch. They drew a bloodline Satan could not cross. But can we do it? What is the scriptural basis? I had to go back, all the way back, back to the plan of God, back to the glory, back before the foundation of the world. Chapter 4, The Revelation of the Glory and How It Came. Life in the early 1970s was busy and happy for me. At home, I was a wife and mother of four. At work, I was editor of publications for Kenneth E. Hagin Ministries, and Brother Hagin had been charged by the Lord to put all his teachings into printed form. My job was to help him do that by editing them into a magazine, The Word of Faith, lessons, monthly lessons, and his books, which have now reached round the globe in multiplied millions. My childhood call to the ministry knew its real beginning, although I did not recognize it as such until years later, when the eight or so members of the adult Sunday school class of the Friends Church elected me teacher in Collinsville, Oklahoma, in about 1973. 72 or 73. Every Sunday I taught the good word of God I'd learned in the lessons I had edited the previous week for Brother Hagin. And in the move of the Spirit, the charismatic move, which was so thrilling in those days, the class grew from 8 to 200 and moved from the choir loft to fill the entire auditorium. The minister I worked for, Kenneth E. Hagin, Sr., based his ministry on the written word of God and being led by the Spirit of God. He walked with the Lord in close personal fellowship and aimed to conduct the ministry in obedience to the Lord's leadings. About this time, Kenneth Hagin was impressed of the Lord that it would behoove him to study all the scriptures on the glory. He did so. And from time to time, he preached on the glory of God. What he did was he got all the scriptures in the Bible on the glory. Now that's easy for us today. We just punch a thing on our computer concordance. But he had to search them out. And he searched out every scripture, started in the beginning with the first one, went right on through the Bible, every place the glory is mentioned. Then I would watch him. He had all these scriptures down on a piece of paper, several pieces, had them inside his Bible cover. And I would see him as he sat on that platform, and I would know when the Lord told him to preach on the glory. Sometimes he just knew he was going to preach on the glory, but sometimes the Lord would just tell him to do it. And he would begin it at those times by simply reading the scriptures which describe God's glory in manifestation from the Old Testament through the New. Often an unusual presence of God would accompany this special sermon. Sometimes the glory of God took the form of a bright cloud, as in the Old Testament. Brother Hagin would be preaching. He would start with, you know, the glory, how it was in Exodus, how the glory came on the mountain, how it was like a fire, how it was like a smoke, how the glory filled the temple, the tabernacle first, and that Moses built, and then it filled the temple. And he would read right on. Sometimes he would get even into the New Testament. Remember where Stephen was preaching and he looked up into the heavens and he saw the glory of God. So he would start to read those scriptures. And sometimes the glory of God took the form of a bright cloud, as in the Old Testament. Like a wave, it would roll across the congregation, usually beginning in the back of the room. Signs and wonders would follow as God confirmed his word. Oh, I've seen so many things happen when this would happen in Brother Hagin's meetings. I've even had it happen in my own later, when you can even see the glory, for the glory of God is the presence of God manifested. I was inspired by the evidently supernatural touch upon this subject of the glory. And I was led by the Spirit. As I was led by the Spirit, I received a thought. You know, he thinks through your mind. I received a thought from the Holy Spirit that affected the rest of my life and ministry. Here's the thought. If it would behoove him to study these scriptures, it would behoove me. So I determined to study the glory. About the time I made another decision. Our rapidly growing Sunday school class at Friends Church in Collinsville included many new believers, unfamiliar with the overall plan of God. So I decided to, in the Sunday school class, begin at Genesis and take an overview of God's plan of redemption. The two studies, my study of the glory of God and beginning in Genesis as we looked at God's overall plan, these two studies so merged that I came to see the Bible as the story of the glory. For a few years, I experienced a most wonderful Holy Spirit-guided course of learning. It was even interspersed with visions, which brought precious insight into God's glory and His plan. My now, at the time I wrote this book, 20-year-long study of, meditation on, preaching about, yearning and watching for the glory of God is condensed and offered here because it fits. The blood and the glory go together in God's wonderful plan of redemption. Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. Chapter 5 in my book, The Blood and the Glory. This chapter is entitled, The World That Then Was. From the start of our Sunday school class journey, beginning at the beginnings, light shined upon questions I'd had since childhood, but was afraid to ask. Why did God make the devil anyway? Didn't He know He was going to cause me all this trouble? How old is Earth? How long has man lived on it? Is science right? Are the preachers right? While I would not be dogmatic about some of these things, they enlighten me as to our ability always to triumph in Christ Jesus over the enemy. I remember hearing Brother Hagin. He was the first one I ever heard teach on a pre-Adamic civilization. And when he did, he opened his teaching like this. I won't be dogmatic about this subject. I won't even be, I remember him saying, pupmatic. But I do believe what satisfies me is that there was indeed a civilization on the earth, a pre-Adamic civilization before Adam was created. And so tomorrow, we're going to go into chapter 5 of my book, and I'm going to show you what I found in the Word of God about this. I believe it answers questions for young people, students. Well, what about the dinosaurs? So we're going to be talking about that beginning tomorrow. We do have my book available for you, The Blood and the Glory, Mrs. C. Newsom's book, and another book, The Authority of the Believer by Macmillan, and of course, Kenneth Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority. This is the time for us to use the blood because we're almost to the glory, the glorious church that Jesus is coming for. This is Billy Brim. You can find us at billybrim.org. That's BILLYEBRIM or 1-800-972-3447. We invite you to be with us tomorrow, and you might like to pick up a copy of my book and read along with us. We'll start in chapter 5. Shalom.